You are now tuned into The Essentials. I'm your DJ host, Skywalker Mike. And to the right of me, two lovely other hosts.
This is Groovy Liz. I'm sorry. I had to laugh real quick.
It's okay.
I don't know what
you're
doing.
Always laughing.
I am.
The last few episodes we did, I had to edit like the whole beginning because you're just laughing randomly.
No way.
It pops a lot. That's crazy.
That's cool. But yeah, we're here with our guest tonight. If you'd like to introduce yourself, you go by many names. So I'm not even sure what you're going by right now. But
I mean, my name's Johnny.
Johnny boy.
On that simple form, but like name changes is a project that I've been working with lately, creatively.
Yeah, nice. And you came all the way from
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Woo! Yeah, Western Massachusetts.
Nice. Yeah, when I met you, is it on? There you go.
Oh.
Yeah, a long way. When I met you, you weren't in Massachusetts. You actually disappeared for a little bit, but we'll touch on that and stuff. It's kind of crazy. This is our first time meeting.
Yeah.
I've known you on the internet since, I want to say, 2011.
For a long time.
Maybe 2010, something around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. It's been a while, and it's a long time coming, and
yeah,
you just randomly hit me up, I think, like 2-3 weeks ago. You were like, hey, I'm coming out to L.A., so
yeah,
we had to link up. It was...
Yeah, because I remember you mentioned before, like, if I ever wanted to, like, link up, just, like, let you know. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, I want to do that, but then it's like, I didn't know, like, how or when I would come out here, just, like, financially and shit like that. But
so it was just a random trip? Or?
Kind of, yeah. More or less. Like, I kind of just wanted to come out here, get a feel for things, because, like, I have, like, a lot of close friends here from Vegas who have, like, all kind of moved here.
Okay.
And just, like, wanting to, like, link back up with them and hang out. And
reconnect
also kind of, and trying to, like, think about moving here just for, like...
Yeah, that's a good way. I travel a lot just to see if maybe I'd want to live there, too.
Yeah.
So. Have you been to Massachusetts?
No, I haven't. I was going to mention that later. I definitely want to go out there whenever I have the time, because...
It's crazy.
Definitely different...
So like what's crazy?
Whole environment.
Right? Like
it's just a different environment. Just different from
like
the West Coast.
Have you ever been to like an environment like that?
No, I've been to New York. The only place on the East Coast I've been to is New York.
City or state?
City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the state. But
yeah,
really
it's just like New York City is this thing. And
there's
the
Buffalo. And
so different.
But I went to the city, so this...
That's
a
cool.
Bunch of buildings, not a lot of trees, but
nah.
I'm pretty sure Massachusetts is I'm pretty sure everything outside of New York is.
Yeah. New York City is like an island from like a sci-fi movie, and then everything else is like the complete opposite.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been a long time coming. I'm glad that we finally linked up because we were talking about, it goes back pretty far, like 2010. I can't remember, but it was early 2010s.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
it's pretty random how we met. I don't know if you remember, if you want to kind of talk about that.
I was thinking about this. I was talking to my friend on the way here. I was like trying to remember like exactly like how we got in touch, because I remember like when we were in touch, like we'd be working on music and stuff and that. But like the furthest I can remember is just like hearing your music.
Yeah, probably randomly on Twitter.
SoundCloud or Twitter?
Yeah, definitely SoundCloud. Like there was like some song with like,
his rapping days?
When I heard it, I was like, oh, this is so sick. And but how did we like actually like get in touch?
It was Twitter. I was talking to them about it on the way here, but I think I sent a beat. No, some guy made a beat and I rapped over it and I just sent it back to him so he could listen to it. But he never responded to me. And I think that's the song you listened to. And then you hit me up and you're like, hey, I got beats, just check them out.
Word.
And at the time, I remember everybody, like, if you would even tweet, damn, I'm looking for beats, like, all these producers would just be like, hey, hit me up. Mm-hmm. And I never would reply to anybody, but for some reason, I was like, I'll check it out, you know.
Why don't you reply to anybody?
Because it felt like spam. It felt too robotic, like, the responses. And his actually felt like, I read it and it looked genuine, so I was like.
Do you remember what it said? Are you allowed? Is it something?
Dear Michael.
No, I can't even remember. I just remember him saying I have more beats, and I think he put the link. I went to listen. I was like, oh, this stuff is cool. Send me some. I don't think I ever rapped over any of those that you sent me.
I don't remember that exact time.
I still haven't heard Mike rap. You won't rap.
Dude, it's my freestyle.
Yeah, well, like you went away for a little bit. I pretty much stopped making music. Like, when you went away, I kind of stopped making music. It's just not because you left, obviously. It just happened that it was like, at the same time, we just kind of...
The one Liz laugh. There we go.
That's crazy.
It just kind of happened that way. And but, I mean, I didn't go away from music. Working with these girls, these ladies, and just throwing shows and stuff. Yeah. But let's talk about more you, like about your sound. And basically, when we met, let's talk about how you got into production.
Yeah, that's like a long kind of story, I guess.
We got time.
The short end of it is like, whenever I was growing up, I just like always loved music, and like that was like what I was obsessed with from a young age. But I never like played any instruments. Like I was always just in like choir or whatever. And for whatever reason, I was never in like band or any shit like that. But I was like, I would always idolize people who like played instruments. I was like, that is like the coolest thing. And then when I was in like eighth grade, I think, I like was fucking around on the computer and I found this like song making website or whatever. So I made a song on it and I put it on like Facebook and I showed my friend Nate, and he was like, yo, this is sick, like you should download like FL Studio or whatever, because like that's how you can like actually make beats, because he did that at the time. And so I got into that. I was like, this is the coolest shit ever. Like, even though it sounded whack, I was like, this is so cool to be able to do this. I also just remembered though that before I started making beats, I like knew I wanted to do music, but so I didn't really know how, so I would just go on like SoundClick and like find like instrumentals and like and just like put together songs over that.
Nice. And that like was mashes,
this
like
a
mashups,
really
stuff like
this
that.
Is a really cringe period though, because like, I would like
it's experimentation.
I would like rap and like kind of try and sing over stuff, and it was just like I was like 13 or 12, and it was just really fucking dumb. But
were you singing stuff that you wrote, or?
Oh yeah, always. It's always like stuff for me. That's a big aspect of it, is like writing. But anyways, when I started making beats, it was like, it felt like this whole world had opened up, and it was just like so exploratory.
Yeah.
And for like probably like that year, like eighth grade, going into ninth grade, I like really was just like spending all my time doing that, because I had a really like tumultuous like family life, like it's just a lot of complicated like hard shit to deal with at home, so it was like music would be my escape. So I would always just be in my room like making beats, often as like a coping mechanism, but also because I loved it, so it was like the perfect marriage of things. But yeah, I just did that for a while, and like that pretty much is like how I made music then went on for a while. And then meeting people like you, like on the internet, and being able to like collaborate in a way, opened up a whole nother door, because like before then I was just making beats and I like didn't know what to do with it, so it'd just be like instrumental stuff, but it like also didn't really stand on its own like super well. So it was like I didn't really know. And then being able to work with like artists who really made the song a whole song, you
know? You worked with some really cool artists too, and still to this day. I remember you working with James Jeffrey.
James Jeffrey.
It's another dude. Like, I don't know.
From
do you
Boston?
Meet him on the internet? No.
No. James is from Las Vegas.
Oh, he's from Vegas.
I love
too.
James.
Yeah.
Me and James,
cool.
We still talk. Like, James is like my brother.
Yeah.
Like, we've worked on a lot of music over the years, and like we still stay in touch. I'm just always trying to like try and do stuff, because
really
he's doing like different stuff now. Like, we both kind of branched off from what we were doing then, but like. Yeah, James was part of this like hip hop collective in Vegas called Cool and Dope.
I do remember that. I do remember seeing about that.
They were sick. They had this one, the guy who made beats for most of them was named like Smash Venture, and he was just so sick. But I got into them because my friend Asosa from high school, like his brother was Smash, and then I found James. But James was sick. James
James is cool. He's like pretty much all over that Amore project.
Is it the Amore project?
The one we were listening to on
Amore.
Amore. Are you talking about the one like
the one that I sent you to, and you put it up on Spotify?
Yeah.
Oh, he was. I was thinking about
taking that off Spotify because I was like, oh, like I don't know, like I wanted this to be like secret again, like. But yeah, James is on that a fair amount, and like.
You kind of added some stuff to it, right?
I did. Well, what I did is like I took all of what you sent me, and then I just like remixed it. So I like took the tracks and like ran it through stuff and did shit, but.
It's cool that I have the original.
Yeah. I mean, I was so grateful that you had it because I, like, never had good foresight, so I would just always delete stuff and then, like, take it off the internet. And then I'd be like, oh, I, like, worked on, like, hundreds of songs and I, like, don't even know where
that,
I can find
that album or project I felt was, like, the sound is really ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know?
Like,
yeah.
And still to this day with the music that you're making now with a name change, That's really like ahead of its time.
That's
really
the
progressive.
One we were listening to when we were
here? with the female singer.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about name change a little bit.
Let us into it. As far as like maybe like a nice segue is kind of like, so name change is like kind of really way further removed from like what I was doing, say with like You Were James, because I was just making beats. But I was like, when I started making beats, I would sample and like I would love artists who sampled like MF Doom and like J Dilla and stuff. But then I was like, I want to be able to make this my own self, like have a whole band playing, but like, how do I actually like play these instruments and do that? So then when I moved to Massachusetts, I started like, which is kind of like when I like disconnected from like social media and like all the whatever music stuff I was doing before, because I was just like trying to learn about like music theory and like instruments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And was just so like into that for a while. And yeah, I just spent time like experimenting with a lot of stuff. And then basically what had happened is like my senior year of high school is also complicated because I swam competitively, which was a whole nother like chapter of things, because like growing up, I had like a hip disease. So I couldn't walk for like 2 or 3 years of my life and had like 4 corrective surgeries and stuff like that. And it was like pretty serious.
That was during high school?
No, that was during elementary school. Okay. But then high school, I swam competitively as like a, it was my like physical thing that I could do because I couldn't do any other sports. Yeah. But then I ended up actually like being pretty serious with that for a while, which like took me away from music, like as far as like being super like serious with putting out music. There's just like too much shit going on at once. But when I was a senior in high school, I was like recruited to like a D1 school for swimming, and at that point I broke this like 40-year-old state record in my state. That's for like my like event, and that was like a big fucking journey, and that was a lot. And then I got sick after that, and my dad was like, have you ever like considered stopping swimming and like doing something else? Because I was like gonna go to school to swim, but that takes up so much time and it's like so demanding, especially at like a D1 level. So I was like, oh, I really want to do music, and like that's my passion. I can't be distracted. So I decided to go to the school, Westfield State, which is like a super small state school in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. But I just started studying music. But I didn't know anything at the time, like, because you have to like audition and play an instrument and shit. And I'm like, I can't do that. So I started learning guitar so I could do that. And then I got there, my first semester I was like undeclared, and then I was like talking to the people in the music department, and they're like, oh yeah, like maybe not, because like you don't even know this. And I was like, no, like I don't want to be in college, like I just want to like learn music since I'm here. And I met the guitar teacher, John Mason, who's like incredible person and crazy, crazy, crazy good guitar player.
Yeah.
And he like saw the potential, because I was like already writing stuff for the guitar, even though I didn't know what I was doing. So he was like, all right, like do this, this, and this, and like bust your ass and like practice like 5-6 hours a day. And then I like, that's after that semester, I became a music major, and I started studying like guitar, bass, piano, drums, like stuff like that. Like,
just what would you practice?
What's up?
What would you practice on the guitar?
Like jazz.
Really?
Yeah. Like I pretty much started playing guitar by learning like jazz and some folk songs.
Okay.
And then like later on working on some like classical guitar. Yes. But and like some rock stuff like growing up, but mainly like jazz, which like comes out in the music and how I make it now. But as far as how getting the name change, what happened is in college, like I started putting together songs. in a way where it was like I was working with my friends and people I would meet, trying to like arrange like a band in a way.
Yeah.
But not like a real band, but just like I had these ideas and like one friend of mine could play bass, and one could play guitar and do this and this. I'd be like, oh, it'd be cool if you do this, it'd be cool if you do this. And then we did that and like it was like just experimenting and nothing was really like clicking. And then my sophomore year, for context, I'm a junior now. I'm going to be a senior next year. But when
college?
I was a sophomore, yeah, in college. Mm. Yeah. But when I was a sophomore, I was still like just trying to figure that stuff out and kept like learning different instruments and like how to design sounds in different ways with like synthesizers and like all that. And then I met Audrey, our yeah. singer.
She recently followed me. I was like, who is this? And then
yeah.
Did she hit the follow back?
Yeah, I had to. You know, I had to.
Yeah, so Audrey's the singer who I work with a lot with Name Change, and it's like our live singer, like who does all of that. Mm-hmm. And when I met her, it just like changed everything. Because when I was writing, it was like nothing was like clicking. And then when I heard her sing, I was just like, oh my God, yeah. like
yeah,
this makes
crazy
sense.
Crazy dynamic.
Yeah, yeah, she's incredible. And that like, I, for whatever reason, like what I was going through in my life at that time, plus like the songs I was writing, like it all like clicked when we got in the studio together. And I was like, this is a song that I think you would kill. And so I like had a song called Run, because I was like going through a breakup at this point, and it was like really, 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 really rough. But the song was just about like getting away from the relationship. But it's like really emotional, and like I couldn't do that with my voice for that song. So I was like, can you sing this? Mm-hmm. And so she did. And then from then it was like, oh man, like it really like brought me to the next level, like as a producer and a songwriter, mm-hmm. because it was like she was so good. And then it like it just gave me all these ideas and stuff like that. And that was like pretty much the start of Name Change, working with her. And then after we did that song, we did Circles over that break. Like,
yeah.
Circles is like the first Name Circles Change song dope. That's out. Circles
is a funky song.
Yeah, it's a funky song. Oh, he likes
sick.
It now, yeah.
Dope. Yeah, Circles was like my song like to get out of like the really shitty place I was after the breakup. I was just like super dissatisfied with my life and like my friendships and relationships. So I like spent winter break just like working on that song. Like I recorded and like wrote like all the individual parts, mm-hmm. and then like with some help of friends, like I had a kid from my high school like plays drums like in the like last part of the song, mm-hmm. and then Audrey sings on it obviously. But it was like when we made Circles, that was it.
Yeah.
And then so at this point it's just like me writing all this stuff, doing all this, and like mixing and producing and arranging the songs, and Audrey singing.
It's crazy. That's do you ever get input from the people when you do it live? Is it usually different?
Yeah, so live is like is different. So like Name Change is kind of complicated in the sense that like recording and live are kind of like separate worlds, but at the same time like they're integrated. Mm-hmm. And so it's tricky because like recording, it's like I often think like how can I define this in a way that is like true to myself but also like representative of like the other people involved, because I don't want to be like this is my solo recording project, because it's like I'm working with people I love who influence me, and we're all doing mm-hmm. this and like bringing our best selves to the table. But then at the same time it's like all like my direction and ideas and stuff like that. So it's not like a traditional like band where it's like all collaboratively
around.
Doing
yeah.
this. Yeah, yeah, it's like kind of like, okay, I have this idea for drums. Like, could you do this for this song?
So you're like, you orchestrate everything.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put it. So that's often how like recording is. Like, I have an idea of what I want, and then like, when I'm doing it, I'll like get feedback on stuff, mm-hmm. and then generally like from there, it'll be like, I'll work the song until it's done and then see how people feel about it. But live is different because we have like 8 or 9 people who play with us live.
Whoa.
By virtue of like we live in the school we go to is kind of like lacks culture and diversity and is really disappointing in that sense.
Yeah.
But the music department does have that, and so pretty much like all of my friends and all of the people I love and who like inspire me, but came a part of the project just by virtue of us like hanging out and kind of like being lucky in terms of like who plays what instruments, because like there's like no overlap in a way that's excessive.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like pretty big now, but it works out when we do live stuff because it's like everybody's trained either like classically or in jazz mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and but also like grew up playing like whatever, like R&B, rock, like all that, and we all kind of just like have similar music tastes. Like we all love like hip-hop and R&B, like I don't know, like we all stan Frank Ocean and like Kanye and all of that.
What are some of your inspirations that inspire Name Change, I guess, other than hip-hop idols?
Yeah, I think if I had to say like off the top of my head the direct inspirations that I've had is like 70s like funk for like bass lines and stuff.
That's tight.
And then also like I love like Frank Ocean, like the way he writes songs and sings, and like Tame Impala. Tame Impala is really inspiring because he's
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin Parker's Kevin Parker amazing. Like
Kevin,
he's somebody like one of
we
the
love you, Kevin.
He's one of the few people. He's one of the few people in the world who like does everything.
He's a genius. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely, absolutely amazing what he does.
Are you going to listen to the collaboration that he'll do with Gaga? Since you like him
happening?
So much,
I didn't. Even
yeah,
hear
I haven't.
About that.
I never heard about that, but like yeah, anything he releases, awesome. Like I'm gonna listen to.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, but I love him, and he's super inspiring in the way that he composes and writes music.
Yeah, very similar to how you do Name Change.
Right. Yeah.
I know he produces it and arranges it, and then he goes on tour and he has a band. But
the difference is he does everything. Like I can't do that. Like even with
The vocals too.
Vocals
he's
and stuff.
Insane,
it's like
insane, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Tame Impala, big. And then, like, a lot of people from where he's from Perth, Australia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so in that music scene, there's bands like Methyl Ethyl and Pond and, like,
dude,
stuff like
Pond
that.
Is dope. I caught him live last year.
Yeah, where'd you see them, dude?
In my city.
Oh, my God.
Which is so random. They perform.
What's your city, Mike?
Yeah, Desert Days, Moreno Valley.
They're so good live, aren't they?
Yes, dude. It's literally just, like, what it is when you hear it recorded, better. You're like, oh goodness, the energy's there.
Yeah,
the singer's on point,
Nick Albrecht.
I think the bassist also does, or the keyboardist also does vocals sometimes too.
Yeah,
on a vocoder, and that shit's really dope.
They're crazy. Yeah.
I think on not their last album, but the one before that, the one that they performed there, Kevin Parker produced it.
All of them. So Kevin Parker used to be in Pond.
Yeah,
he used to play drums for them.
What?
And he like, yeah. And so starting on like Beardwives Denim, he started just doing the recording.
Mm-hmm.
But he records and produces and mixes all their stuff. So it's
Kevin
like
it
in
all.
The same universe.
Yeah,
but it's so crazy.
Have you ever heard of Melody's Echo Chamber?
Yeah, Melody's is great. Yeah. I love Melody's Echo Chamber.
Yeah.
I've like.
Have you heard Melody's?
No.
You should.
Me,
you
Liz
would
is
love
shaking.
It. That's a. No. I think that's Kevin's ex.
It is.
But he produced like an album for her, and it's amazing.
Literally met his ex.
It is.
Like ex-girlfriend?
Yeah.
Ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, at the time they were together when he produced it.
Yeah.
You know how things work.
I feel bad for her in some sense, though, because like a lot of people like find her music through Tame Impala, and they're like, oh, he produced this. And they're like, oh, it's just his ex. But it's like she's like a dope artist in her own sense.
Yeah, she is.
And like,
she is that. But that's how I found out about her.
Yeah,
you know,
same.
So.
Honestly,
though. Yeah.
Dope. But
y'all
want
to hear about Maya? I'm just kidding.
Oh,
man. He does make music.
That's crazy.
Tame performed that day too.
Word. Yeah.
The same day. Well, they got cut short because there was a lightning storm.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
It's crazy because they were gonna play this song Jeremy's Storm.
Oh, dude.
But then they got rained
out. I saw the track list. I was so mad.
I know.
Yeah.
Because
they haven't played that in years.
I know. I was waiting when I saw the track list. I was mad. I was like, why did it have to just randomly happen? But. What's up, guys?
What? I just wish I was there.
Yeah. I wish they actually performed, but, you know, they played like 15 minutes. It was cool.
Okay. Yeah.
It's good enough,
yeah.
I feel like one inspiration that should be talked about is from this, like, whole conversation, though, is his name's Gum, and he's, like, the keyboard. He's Jay Watson, and he's a keyboard player for Tame Impala Live, and he, like, writes and produces with Pond, and he performed with Pond. So I think he was probably like playing bass when you saw him.
Yeah. Okay.
And he has his own solo project called Gum, which like functions in the same like fashion as Tame Impala.
Oh, that's tight.
But he performed as Gum, Tame Impala, and Pond all on the same day at Desert Days, which is insane.
Man, I don't think I saw Gum. I got there like later in the day. If he was there earlier, but
it was probably earlier because he's smaller.
That's dope. Yeah. That's really dope though. But yeah, like what? So what name are you going by now, solo wise?
Because
I know
for like solo music.
Because I know when you re-released Amor on Spotify, you go under a claustrophobic.
Yeah,
mushroom.
That's kind of like a secret. Like I like
mushroom.
Yeah, well, Amor was supposed. That's supposed to, like originally when I put Amor back on like Spotify, I was like, oh, this is just gonna be like a secret thing for like me and my friends, and I didn't want like people to hear it, but. For solo music, I don't really put out like solo music. Claustrophobic Mushrooms just kind of like, if I did put out solo music, that's what it'd be under, you know. Yeah. But it's just kind of like a goofy like Instagram moniker.
Why'd you change your name from? I think the last time was Jean Paul Otis.
Yeah. I've changed my name so many times. That's why like
that I like that, man. That
name changes like the definitive like,
all the names that you've had.
Yeah. I even legally changed my name though. It was just like crazy.
Oh. The name
like,
change?
No.
I was gonna say, yo bro.
That'd be a bit much. I just like every time I've like made progression as a musician or producer, it's like I've wanted to like redefine myself with a new name. So it, like when we met, it started. I was like Apollo, and then it was like John Peacewise, and then like Frozen Paint, then like
I forgot about
then like John Paul Otis, and like what was it after that? I don't even remember. But and then I went by like Trinity Row or whatever.
What?
It was like a similar thing.
Yeah.
It's too many things, and
crazy.
Yeah. So name change is kind of like making fun of myself in that way.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of different meanings to like what it means, because there's like a deeper level of just like being who you want to be and like forgetting like what you're like defined as or born as, you know. But yeah, I also legally changed my name. I took like my mom's maiden name and like my stepdad's mom's maiden name. But yeah.
Do you define the name, or does the name define you?
Well, I think you definitely like define the name, you know, because like if you let the name define you, then like you're just a victim of like what you're prescribed, you know. And that's like I'm a big advocate for like empowering yourself, and so like you gotta like take what you're given and then like do whatever with it, which is kind of like the premise of name change, you know.
Yeah, that's tight.
So I wanted to ask, how do you feel your music has evolved since Jean Paul Otis, or even what else did you put out? You put out Songs That Suck.
Yeah.
Wow, you're rude.
That was the name of the project.
I put that out. I put that out when I was like a freshman in high school, like a freshman or a sophomore, and like I was like super into Tyler the Creator at the time, and I just like loved his sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like that'd be cool, like just to like make fun of the entire body of work and just be like, oh, this sucks, like these are songs that suck. Like, but then I also thought like might like pique someone's interest, be like, do these really suck though, like let me listen. And then like hopefully
there is
they
one
don't
that
think they
did
suck.
Not suck, it was like a Nardwar.
It's like one,
it was because this is the one that I remember. It's
James always, rapped on that too.
I think you put it on a more is a like Nardwar sample, and then at the end
Nardwar
him and Pharrell, like
and
they sing a
that.
Song
yeah
I don't know
yeah,
the
yeah.
song but That was a really cool sample. I was like, oh, nobody ever samples Nardwar. So, and not a lot of people at the time knew who Nardwar was.
Yeah.
I think recently he just got bigger. But
yeah, Nardwar blowing up.
Yeah. Wow. So what's your process like now compared to then?
It's the same. Like the only difference is like how I express myself with sounds. Like it's still the same thing though. Like I make music in my room like the way I did when I was like 14 years old. It's just like sitting at my computer with ideas and trying to like express it and get it out. Like I use the same DAW, like I use like FL Studio 10, like which I've had for like 7 years, and it's like I don't know, it's really just the same process. But what's changing is like what's going into being recorded. Like it's not like I'm not just being like, okay, I'm going to use this VST. It's like, how can I like create the sound in real life? Mm. And like, should this be on guitar, piano, or like, how should it be played?
Yeah.
And so it's like a lot of factors going into it like that. And so as opposed to just being like in the box, it's sort of like thinking of like every instrument, every tool that I can like use that's at my disposal. And so it feels like very free now creating. But at the same time, like sometimes it's just like sometimes too many options, you know? So you have to like pick and choose. But I think I'm really inspired by like indie rock and like R&B sounds, you know? Yeah. And also like hip hop. So like that informs the production in a lot of ways.
How do you even like begin to like mesh those two?
Well, I think like I can try and explain it, but there's like artists I think that do a really good job. Like Steve Lacy has been doing, like his last record is like really, really cool at like fusing like hip hop and Indian like R&B stuff.
When we came in,
they were playing some Steve Lacy.
Yeah.
It's really dope. I like that project.
Yeah.
It came out of nowhere. I was like, oh, he dropped
it. It was
album,
so sick. But what I think is like, I don't know, it's when you break it down, like hip hop samples like a lot of jazz and it samples, I mean, it's started like based on sampling, but it's interesting how sampling works too. Like, not the concept, but like if you look at like some of the old like African Bambaataa, like he was sampling like Kraftwerk, which was this like obscure like electronic band.
Right.
And then so it's like hip hop kind of, I don't know, it takes these things and then it like reinvents them and puts them out. And it's, I feel like it's very like rhythmic and sort of like, I don't know how to define it, but, and I don't want to, but it's like easy to combine it because when you look at like rock or like indie rock or R&B, a lot of it also like incorporates things from jazz, like like artists like Mac DeMarco, for example. They love like using like extended chords. Like, I don't know if you know anything about music theory or anything like that, but it's like, say like it's basically like instead of using like the basic ass chord, they use the chord that has like a little extra flavor, which is like what jazz is based around. So then it all kind of like is connected in that way. But I feel like hip hop, the way it speaks to me most, and like having grown up producing it, is like just like the rhythmic feel of it.
Right.
And then what speaks to me about like indie rock or like R&B is sort of more like the melodic and also like aesthetic, like structured feel. I guess. So like bringing that together sometimes makes sense.
Sounds like a healthy smoothie.
It's a good smoothie.
I kind of want to just touch on like, when we were making music, you know, like I felt like when I was rapping, and
I want to hear some rap
at the time, like also spoken word, you know, at that time I felt like I was in my most experimental. He would just send me stuff and I would rap over it, or I would just send him just vocals and then he would produce around it, and I thought that was really cool. I was like, yo, he literally just produced like around it, you know. I thought that was really cool, and
spit something, Mike.
Well, I'll probably play some.
You had this great song called it was like a remix of that XXYYXX song.
Oh yeah, it was about you. That's the song by XXYYXX.
And you did
about
me.
About me.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that was cool. I really liked that sound. I wish I would have had more of that sound, but at the time I didn't really know a lot of producers, and I was finding stuff on YouTube or just SoundCloud.
But you had like really good taste. Like the stuff you found like worked really well, and it sounded sick. That's why like I was like, oh, this is like actually really cool, as opposed to being like, oh, I heard this beat on SoundClick like a week ago. You know?
And that's the thing I liked about your sound is you produced a lot of stuff that sampled movies. I remember you sent me a beat and it had a Pulp Fiction sample in it.
I remember that one.
The Matrix.
Another movie. The Matrix earlier too.
Yeah, another movie too. I can't remember, but I really liked that. It felt cinematic. You know, it was a good dynamic to it. You know,
that definitely is like a huge inspiration, and like even the music I make now is like cinema and movies and the way they like use sound and imagery to like.
Yeah, it's definitely getting bigger too, you know.
Like,
I've been watching a lot of movies lately. I do another podcast on movies, and we just kind of try to focus on the mood, like the music aspect of it, like the cinematics of it, and it's so crazy, like, noticing music being more involved in cinema, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And it complements it really well. I just enjoy it a lot, you know?
The soundtrack for Black Panther was really cool.
Yeah, that. Yes. Even for Spider-Man, I don't know if you saw Into the Spider-Verse.
I didn't, no.
They had a cool little movie. Soundtrack. It was similar to, like, how they did Black Panther.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, there's just a lot of stuff that's really cool with cinematics and music. But, yeah. But yeah, like I always thought your sound, I mentioned it earlier, is ahead of its time because of your age. You know, when I met you, how old were you when I met you?
Probably like 14 or 15. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And at the time I was like, I was just blown away. I was like, this dude is
Wait,
like,
how old were you?
I was probably like 17 or 16. Mm-hmm. So not that far apart, but in my community, when I was making music, I didn't know nobody that was as experimental or even making music on that level, you know? So it was very interesting to find a like-minded individual like me, but not even in the same city, you know? We met over the internet.
Right. Yeah.
And we were just sending, like, files back and forth. And sometimes they'd come out, sometimes they wouldn't.
Right, yeah.
And, but yeah, it was just a really fun process. Mm-hmm. I do want to get back into it.
Yeah,
I do want to work with you again.
Yeah, that'd be so sick.
Definitely, like, see how. I mean, we've grown, you know, just in general, you know, outside of music, just as people. So, I think it'd be definitely a great blend. But I'll hit you up one of these
for
days.
For sure, man, I would love that. Yeah. That'd be cool. I find, like, more and more with name change stuff, like, the songs that are out now is, like, just Audrey singing on them, which I love because she just brings, like, this element to the songs that makes it amazing. But I'm, like, working more with different vocalist stuff. Like, I'm starting to sing more on stuff because, like, I've always sang. I just, like, I'm, like, more self-conscious about it. I'm like, oh, well, like, Audrey sounds, like, 100 times better, so why not? But sometimes it's, like, well, I, like, want to express this in a specific way. Mm-hmm. And so, like, our friend Lauren, like, there's a song called ID that we have that, like, probably will be coming out soon, where, like, Lauren sings on it, and then Audrey sings on it, and I sing on it.
Nice.
So, like, things are, like, opening up more to be, like, different people sing on different things, and, like, I'm always like, oh, I'd really need, like, a verse from, like, a rapper on this or something, because that would just sound really cool.
Yeah, man.
So, like, maybe we can make that happen someday, you know?
Most definitely. Yeah, I haven't done nothing in a while. I think the last thing I dropped was, like, 2014.
Word, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And it was cool, you know. Mm-hmm. I just kind of stepped away for a little bit to be behind the scenes more, as I was telling you before. You know?
Yeah,
I enjoy it in behind the scenes. You know, I doing this interview with you, you know. I think if I was still doing music, I don't know if I'd be behind the scenes as much.
Right, yeah. And, like, every element is, like, equally important.
Yeah.
It's just there's so many different things that can be done, like, in music.
Yeah.
It's definitely crazy.
Any regrets so far?
Wow, regrets? Not really, because, like, everything I've done has, like, influenced who I've become, and, like, I'm happy with how I've, like, grown and, like, what I've learned, even if certain periods of my life have been, like, really shitty because of things that I've done. But, like, I wouldn't be who I am if that didn't happen, so I can't, like, take anything back. I think the only thing I regret really is, like, ever wasting, like, any time being, like, upset at somebody or something and, like, letting that affect my mood. Like, I think sometimes I struggle with, like, being, like, in a good mood sometimes, and then sometimes you're just not, like, feeling a conversation, you know?
Oh,
and so, like, but it's fucked, though, because if you love somebody and there's people who care about you, it's, like, I feel like even though we all go through it, it's, like, a waste of time to be rude to them or whatever, you know, because it's like we're gonna be dead eventually, so
yeah we gotta, like, build the bridges that we burned again and just you know, live as one.
Wait, what?
Rebuild bridges that we built and just kind of live as one. Yeah
But sometimes when you burn it, it lights the way.
Facts.
True. I mean, if it's I think if it's a relationship that just was not for you.
What you burning?
You know, if there's no traffic on that bridge, let it burn.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. Like, some things is good to just, like, remove from your life, you know.
But I think just, like, taking that energy of being upset still and not and letting it fester. I think that's more of what you were talking about in a sense.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
I did want to kind of go back to the cinematic aspect of your music, and I wanted to ask you if you could go back and maybe put together a soundtrack or the sound for a movie of any.
Oh, I like that. What do you do? I love that. Ooh, that's tricky. Probably Blade Runner. Like the original Blade Runner.
Nice.
Like I love, I don't know, because like no disrespect to like Vangelis or Hans Zimmer for like their respective versions of the movies.
Yeah.
But like that whole like soundscape and that energy like really speaks to me. So probably that'd be really sick. But I'm trying to think, like, I love Stanley Kubrick, so I'm trying to think like if there's anything that, but. No, I would go with Blade Runner.
2001, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 2001 would be cool.
I love that. I just want to
like,
mention that.
I actually, I would never want to do 2001 because, like, what? I forget who even like. Oh well, yeah. Like Stanley Kubrick did a lot of like choosing the pieces that were playing, and he did it in a way that like they became so iconic that if it was anything different, it like wouldn't have that same value.
That movie. It just looks insane.
Like, yeah.
The fact that it was made absolutely in like the 60s.
Crazy. Yeah. Just
the way that the fact that they made it look like they actually did it in space.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And like
it's a really cool space.
Kubrick
opera.
Was so obsessive with like detail, and I respect that.
He was ahead of his time. That's like Term of the Night.
It's like when they were trying to
make, ahead of your time.
Yeah. When they're trying to make 2001, it's like, well, how the fuck do you make a movie in space look real in the 60s? And he's like, I don't know, let's just build these machines and like have like giant things. And it's just like, it's insane, like for better or for worse. Like, I mean, so many people he like drove crazy and like fucked up, but like.
Because if you look at Star Wars, like it didn't even look as great as 2001. Just right. Like, it just 2001 blew everything out of the water at the time.
Yeah.
And it probably still does. Like you look at it now and you're honestly, like, this still looks, it looks like it was made like this year, probably dropped this year.
Yeah. Wow, it's beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I love movies. I could talk about movies out there.
I feel like that, like that's an element that I try to like bring to the music that I make.
I
like,
think you do it really respectfully too. Cause we were, he played me too. I was just kind of, this is kind of wild, but it works.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. You had mentioned that is similar to Flying Lotus. Is that what you're talking about?
Flying Lotus. That's it.
That's huge.
I love Flying Lotus.
Yeah. No offense, but I was like, that's big. I don't know if I feel this way right now because I have not heard your stuff just yet.
Oh, word.
So I was just like, that's a big comparison. She's just like, yeah. I was like, damn. Yeah. Do you like him?
I love Flying Lotus. I mean, I grew up like bumping Flying Lotus and like, his album like When the Quiet Comes was like my soundtrack in high school.
Nice.
And it just like it blew my mind how like I feel like if you listen to Flying Lotus like earlier music, it's very like sometimes I'll be listening to like my playlist on shuffle, I'll be like, oh wait, what's this like Jay Dillaby? This is sick. And then I'm like, oh, this is Flying Lotus.
Yeah.
But then the way he evolved and like took rhythm and took the way he would produce and like did it in a way that was so unique to him. And like it breaks down, his rhythms are crazy because like they feel like so fucking groovy, but like you can't like put your finger on it.
Yeah.
And like it's really amazing. And like that's a, I love that comparison though. Thank
that's
you.
Huge.
Like for our song Let's Love, which was like probably the most collaborative song that we made, we were very like for the rhythm, our drummer Kevin, he like came up with the groove on that. And when we were making it, we were like, oh, like we really want like this to have like a Jay Dilla feel, you know? So like we're pulling from the same influences that like Flying Lotus is, you know, in some ways, but like coming out in totally different ways with like live drums and stuff like that.
Yeah. If you had the chance to maybe work with another band to orchestrate a sound for them or a song, album, what band would you work with?
That's a good question. Probably not, like, I wouldn't want to work with a band because, like, band dynamics are often, like, they work in a specific way, yeah, and people mesh, and I don't want to, like, get in anybody's way in that, like, the whole world of, like, bands is different. But an artist, I feel like I would love to work with, like, Brockhampton, or, like, Frank Ocean or someone like that. Like, my heart wants to say, like, Tyler, the Creator, because I love him, but, like, he doesn't need that, you know? Like, yeah, he does all of that. He's a fucking one-man band. You know? Exactly. Yeah. I feel like working with Frank Ocean would be crazy, though. Mm. And just, like, creating, like, soundscapes with him, you know?
I could see that, yeah. Definitely. It's crazy. Have you ever flipped or remixed any Frank Ocean sample?
Ooh, that's hard.
Is it too sacred?
I don't know. Like, you know what? I've sampled a Frank Ocean song, like, off of Nostalgia Ultra. It's called Goldeneye. And it's just a transition song where it's like you have, like, the cassette player and then it goes to this and that. But I use that, like, cassette player, like, starting and stopping sound in a lot of stuff. And, like, I think it's the only thing I've, like, sampled, though. Like, I wouldn't want to flip or redo it. Just, like, I like to study his shit and be like, this is inspiring. Mm. Just the way he writes songs is so, like, creative and beautiful, you know?
Yeah, he's also ahead of his time.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier how Flying Lotus was the soundtrack to your high school.
Yeah.
What's the soundtrack to your life as of now?
Well, definitely, like, probably, like, for the past 4 years, I was, like, super, super into Tame Impala, like, listening to all three of his albums constantly. Like, those have been, like, my top, probably until last year. Then I, like, when I found out about Brockhampton, I was like, wow, like, they blew my mind, you know? So definitely, like, Brockhampton and Tame Impala are, like, my top, like, up there constantly.
Yeah. Favorite Tame Impala song?
Oh, man. That's
so much out for Tame.
That's hard.
It's insane.
I guess let's say the Mutsude. Oh, okay. Top three.
Because, like, in different ways. Top three. Like, that's so nice. Like, one off the bat is, like, Let It Happen. Just because it's, like, it's just, like, a journey. And it's so well produced and, like, tells a cool story. But then on his Live Versions album, he has the opener to that is called, like, Ender Toi. It's like French or something.
Yeah.
And the version of that that's live is so much, like, cooler than the recorded version.
Yeah.
So I love it for that. And then also on that same album is a song called Apocalypse Dreams. Mm-hmm. And that recording is, like, wow. It's just, like, so dramatic and so beautiful. So, like, yeah. So those would be my top three.
Off Lonerism, right?
Yeah. Ender Swa and that one are both Off Lonerism. Yeah.
How do you feel about Post Animal? They get compared to Tame Impala a lot.
I love Post Animal. Yeah, I met them at a show in Northampton.
Really?
Yeah, like, they're so cool.
Did you meet Joe?
No, he actually wasn't there.
He was probably
Everyone was like, oh, like, he's going to be at the show. Like, everyone, all the girls from high school wanted to go. But, which admittedly, like, is why I went, because, like, that's how I heard about them.
Stranger Things?
Yeah, and yes and no, like, there was a lot of hype around that, but my friend's band was opening. So I just wanted to go to support them.
That's dope.
Yeah. But they were so sick. I, like, stuck around after the show because they were super cool. And then we just, like, kind of hung out and talked for, like, 30 minutes or so. And they're really cool, nice guys. And they, like, I feel like they just got signed recently, like, put out their, like, quote-unquote debut album because they, like, self-released some albums. But, like, this is their first, like, official, like, label album. Nice. And I feel like they're going to be, like, the ones in the next, like, 5-10 years, like, pushing stuff forward, because, like, they have a lot of respect for, like, when we were talking, they were like, oh, yeah, we love, like, Melody's Echo Chamber, Tame Impala, like, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, like, all that.
I love King Gizzard.
But they're then, like, they're they are legends. But the way Post Animal, like, takes all of their influences and they still create something unique.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. It'll be cool to, like, see what they do in the future, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah.
Do you have anything coming out for a name change?
Eventually, yeah.
Are you guys working on a project for it, or with the
I've been working on a lot of stuff recently, but it's kind of like I don't want to rush anything. And, like, there's this song called ID that's done, and it's, like, very, like, relevant, like, to my life and how things are going, And it's like the first song that I would want to put out, like where I'm singing on it and Lauren's singing on it, I mentioned before. And it's just like, I love that song, but I don't want to rush it. So like I wanted to put it out in like late July or early August, and I still like might, but I want to, when I come back, when I go home from this trip, I'm going to like listen and like see what I can do with that. And if it like, if before I leave, I have to leave for work. Like after a few days after I get back, I work at like a summer program teaching. And so if I'm not like loving what I have then, like I'm just going to wait like a few months, because as much as I want to like put out music and share that, because it's like what I spend all my time working on, is also at the same time, it's like, if it's not my definition of perfect at the time, then it's like, I don't want to rush it, because there's so much music being released like every single day by so many artists. It's like, people don't need it. So it's like, I'll just do it when it's like, when it feels right, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. Build up the anticipation too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys already have three singles that, I think that's enough for now, you know?
Yeah,
it's really,
right.
Really cool.
Yeah.
What you guys have out right now. I mean, like you said, they all sound different in their own way and very progressive, which is really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, we're probably going to wrap it up, you know?
Dope.
Thanks for coming by, man. Before we do leave, we ask a few questions, and I'll ask the first one.
Yeah,
it's cool. Called The Music Baby. So if could put any artist dead or alive into the studio to create an album or song, what artist would you like to put in?
Just one artist.
As many
as many artists as possible, dead or alive. Yeah. Oh wow.
Whoa.
This is tricky.
That's a lot.
Oh man.
It's a stumper. Wow. Everybody gets stumped by this.
Alive. I think it'd be cool to see like what Tyler the Creator and Miles Davis could come up with together. Nice. You know, because I feel like they both like are very progressive in their own field, but also like speak the same language in different ways. That'd be cool. I mean, this is hard because I'm really just thinking, like, from my own selfish level, like, what artists do I love would sound sick together?
It's your music, baby.
Facts, that's right, it is. Okay. A Kevin Abstract album produced by Tame Impala.
Oh, what? That'd be nice.
But, like, co-produced by Romeo, because, like, that would be, like, weird if he wasn't there.
No, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I like that combo.
And maybe, like, Kanye and Mozart.
What?
You know, as my last one.
That's
insane.
That's really dope.
I like that.
Yeah, if that
I
could,
was so down
that
with
could
that,
happen,
like at
know?
Midnight.
I could, Kanye is just, he has that same mindset.
Yeah.
Know, just
when's your birthday, Johnny? Can I say government name? Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Oops.
Yeah. Nobody knows what like the other part of my name is, so it's all good. But October 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah. Why are you trying to get like what my star signs are? <and stuff? laughs>
That's their job.
Star sign, sun sign.
Oh, okay. My bad.
The
my
sun
bad.
Is a star.
That's a fucking fact.
Thanks, Burn. Right there. Shut door. Lock
but,
it.
Yeah, I guess we got three October babies in here.
That's
hey.
Cool.
October. Yeah.
Nice.
Wow. Nice. Halloween's.
Yeah. And then if you'd like to.
So
ask
the second
question
is. Kind of like first impression. So if somebody didn't know who you were or heard about your music, and they came up to you, what song would you play for them and in what setting?
Okay. That's tricky. It's tricky because like the songs that I have like done right now are like, they all kind of like speak to like different elements of my life and stuff like that. So it's like, and they're all like different, kind of different vibes.
Yeah.
So like, I kind of try and get a feel for like what that person would like appreciate in the first point. But
like, if you were to introduce yourself,
yeah, I would probably play Circles because like that's like my truest like energy, and like that song I made like pretty much in complete isolation.
Right.
And it's kind of like a window into like my thought process and like sort of like outlook on life. Whereas, like, Let's Love is kind of, like, reactionary to, like, all the hate and all of the, like, a lot of the, like, atrocities happening in the world with, like, just, like, too much stuff. Like when I wrote that, it was just like too many things going on at once mm-hmm. in the world, and it was like fuck. And then Mama's like a really personal story, mm-hmm. so it's not like the whole like picture. Mm-hmm. So I would go with Circles.
What would the setting be for them to hear that
setting?
Track?
Okay, driving, definitely driving, because like I feel like. At least where I come, not driving in like LA traffic.
Like, doesn't say day or like, night, like driving yeah, at night or.
I think like driving like at night, like in, for me, like in Massachusetts or somewhere where there's like nice open roads and like nature around, you know, so you can like bump it in your car and like have that isolated world, but then like be surrounded by like cool, like free, beautiful things, you know?
Yeah. What's a good place to eat in Massachusetts?
Oh, wow. Well, what kind of food? Like,
let's say whatever they're known for.
Okay. Well, in my like hometown, I'd probably say Green Bean has really good breakfast. Mm. And then there's this place called Bueno Isano that has really good like burritos and stuff.
That's all Mike right there.
I love Mexican food.
There's a burger place called Local Burger. And, oh. You know, that's good too. So,
all right.
Check that out.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too.
When you make music, where do you go? Because you said there's a lot of forest mm-hmm. like stuff. Like, right, do you go there and reflect on on music or
kind
anything?
Kind of, yes and no. Because like right now, I like live in the woods, so like mm-hmm. I'm like literally surrounded by like trees everywhere. So when I look out my window, it's like that's what I see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like go on walks in the woods, or I'll just like go for drives like through. Trees and like listen to artists that I really like. Nice. You know?
I love stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely have to
pay
you a trip out to Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But sure. Thank you again for coming through, man. Really appreciate
it.
Yeah,
thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good conversation.
We got to meet. Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome.
And do you want to give any shout outs and social media?
Sure. Yeah. Let me think of shout outs. Shout out to my girlfriend. She's super, super supportive and cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to like literally any teacher, anybody who's like helped enlighten me as far as like giving me their life knowledge and like what they know as far as like music mm-hmm. goes, because like there's just so much to learn about music and life. And mm-hmm. it's just like anybody, you know, you don't have to be like quote unquote teacher, but like anybody like just sharing knowledge like that is like, what helps all of us like grow and like do what we want to do. So like all those people and my friends for supporting me and like helping me not feel like isolated and shit like that, you know.
Yeah,
like
but yeah, follow us on like Twitter and Instagram at @name_change, or just like look up Name Change. But yeah,
nice. Yeah, well, thank you for tuning in. This was The Essentials, and we'll catch y'all next time.
we like. The totalitarian states have no freedom at all. So what is freedom? So what is freedom? So what is freedom?